Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening, wherever you are on this planet Earth. We have an incredible show for you tonight. I'm not kidding you. It's probably ranked in the top three of our show. Probably the best show we ever had was January, I think the 26th of last year, when we had Daniel Borden calling in from prison. This will probably be our second or third best show, and I'll tell you who the guests are going to be in just a minute. People, it is March the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020, the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ Almighty. Make no mistake to that. He is Lord of all. People, you know the drill. We're getting ready to do a little Bible work right here now. So if you will, just hang on. I'm going to read one of my favorite Psalms. You all know it. It's called The Lord is My Shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God, that's so true. People, if you will, just bow your head. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Oh, Lord, Father God, the maker of all the things that's seen and unseen, you just spoke everything we know of that existence in the world never existed until you spoke it into existence, oh, Lord. If you will, Lord, please stay with us at Liberty News Radio, Blood River Radio. Let us do right for you, Lord. Let us do your will with our radio programs as we reach out and try to do what little we can in your name, Lord, to fight evil. And with every blood cell in our body, with every ounce of strength we have in our body, we are fighting evil. With that, people, I've got a few announcements to make. I'm really excited. As you know, you probably don't know, our dear brother Rich Hamblin is going in to have surgery Monday. He'll, if you will, start praying especially hard at 12 noon Monday, because that's when he's scheduled to go under the knife. It's pretty much routine surgery right now, even though it's a quadruple bypass. They do it, but there's no such thing as a routine surgery. I know that. So if you will, keep us in your prayers, keep Sam in your prayers, and please say extra prayers for Rich. Also, people, as you know, I got another announcement to make. The Forrest reinternment, I was told today by Rich, he's still worried about Forrest, even though he's getting ready to go under the knife. That internment has been postponed for a long time, probably in the fall. We're having all kinds of trouble with that. But anyway, that's one of our announcements. And also, I'm scheduled to speak over, I think, let me look on the calendar, the 24th, 5th, and 6th over in Harrison, Arkansas. We'll be over there with our friends of the Knights, and the people will be coming from all over the country there. We're going to have the also... God willing, I'll be speaking with the League of the South in June. We'll get the full details on that. When we get that, we'll lay it on to you. And if you will, also keep prayers in hand for little Matt and little Jacob. And with that, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Now we're going to go to our guest. We have two heavy hitters. We have Dr. Tom Sunick is going to come on for the first hour. And we have the one and only General Nick Glasnovic. I chased that dude for ever since June of last year. And we have the generals coming on the second hour. Dr. Tom Sunick is coming on the first hour. And if you want to read somebody with one hellacious bio, go and read the bio of Dr. Tom Sunick. It's very impressive. And read, also go and read up on the general Nick Glastovic's Men Among Men Among Men. So, people, we're getting ready to go right to that interview. We're getting ready to bring Dr. Tom Sunick himself on. So hang on. Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, Blood River Radio. It is March the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight, we have a very special guest on tonight. His name is Dr. Tom Sunick. And I was just reading rereading his bio, and it'll knock your socks off. So with that, I'm going to go to Dr. Sunick right now, and I'm going to get him to give him some of the bio himself. And if he leaves out anything, believe you me, I am going to cover it. How are you doing today, Dr. Sunick?
Well, thank you very much for calling me, and I appreciate being in your show, and I'm definitely at your service. I guess I could go now into great lengths and explain you what would happen in Croatia the other day. They had a big earthquake, so there is quite a bit of damage. Not here where I live. I live on the outskirts of Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia, but in the center itself, there was quite a bit of damage. So people are still a little bit under shock. It's not very common here in Central Europe to have earthquakes of such a magnitude, but this one was really, well, I don't want to say it was terrible, it was catastrophic, but nonetheless, it left quite a bit of damage. So by and large, listen, I'm doing fine, like most Americans, like most Europeans. You know, we are under this big scare, under this lockdown, which is much more severe here in Croatia than elsewhere in some parts of Europe and elsewhere in the United States. And I'm actually, right now, I'm just shoveling the dirt and working in my garden a little bit. We have a beautiful weather, sunny weather.
I knew you were, you know, how incredible, people, how incredible a guest could you have on? This man is at home, getting on his knees, getting in the dirt, working in the dirt, planting potatoes and beans and just living on the ground from the earth. But Dr. Sunick, I was reading your bio today. It knocks my socks off. Tell Dr. Sunick, I apologize for not going covering your biography in greater depth earlier in other interviews we've had. Would you please tell the audience, go back to your childhood. I see where your father was a lawyer, and you and your sister took up activism. Tell us a little bit about your early home life, and because I treat this as a first. This is kind of like going to be a reintroductory of a series I hope I can have you on for. So let's start from the beginning. Go back to your childhood, and I see you were born in Yugoslavia. I think it's the current, nowadays, Croatia. So go ahead, Dr. Tom. Tell us about your early childhood.
Wow, it's a pretty lengthy story, I can tell you. I was raised in a very anti-communist, very conservative family. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't easy for all of us, including my dad, who passed away 12 years ago. He was a lawyer, but he was under surveillance, so to speak. In fact, he was twice in prison in communist Yugoslavia because he was politically incorrect. In other words, he was not towing the party line. Just in passing, I got to tell you, when I was in the States already, he was arrested again by the Yugoslav communist authorities back in the early 80s, and he was adopted by 12 congressmen, he was adopted by the Amnesty International, and of course by 12 congressmen, including Tom Lantos, if my memory serves me well. He was senator back then in California. And then, of course, there was a big one. I can't remember exactly. So anyway, he was a prisoner of conscience back in the 80s. But prior to that, during my childhood, I presume you want to know more about this. Well, how can I tell you? It was just a miserable life we had. Well, miserable in a sense. I was happy. I was surrounded by books. We didn't have a TV. We didn't have a car. My dad was not into material things. He was actually doing gratis, you know, for pro bono, all his services to peasants and to people here in the vicinity. He never charged them anything. So he was a very pious, very Catholic, God-fearing man. Unlike me, I'm probably more of a freewheeling guy. So anyway, I attended first the grammar school back in communist Yugoslavia, but then back in the late 60s, early 70s, I started realizing that communism was just not just a big fraud; it was a big mendacity in a way. And I just couldn't survive. I couldn't breathe here. I guess I have a free mind, and I like provocative thinking, and I like free thinking. And back then I started planning about taking off and leaving. And of course, back then the United States was my ideal in a sense. So anyway, I guess I'm pretty much talented for foreign languages, supporting my entire family. My dad was also fluent in several languages. So when I was a kid, I remember I was taking classes in Latin and in German and French with him. And probably the good thing about myself is I was surrounded by books. So I actually, under quotation marks, figuratively speaking, books saved my life. I didn't like institutions, I got to tell you. I went afterwards to communist Yugoslavia. I attended the School of Humanities, and I was the first in my class. I didn't like it to start with, but I just did it because, you know, I wanted to get myself a degree. And in passing, I got to tell your viewers, your younger audience, folks, get yourself some degree. Regardless of what you do, I mean, I understand, but get yourself a degree. It will help you socially. It will help you in your culture war, in our common culture war. And this is what I did, because mostly, even back when I moved to the States, when I did my graduate work at the University of California, which was profoundly leftist and Marxist-oriented, was basically a waste of time for me. But I wanted to get my PhD, which I did, because I knew, and I know even nowadays, that it certainly helps you a great deal. It helps our cause to have a degree. It gives you a certain prestige, a certain aura, regardless of what your enemies, the ADL or SPLC, they tell about it. But once you have a degree, it helps you definitely in combating the evil that's around us. I don't know, I could go on and on. I don't know where to stop. And if you have some sub-questions about my earlier childhood, please feel free. I got really nothing to hide. I don't think I have any advice. I'm nervous. I got advice, you know, because I don't like the uglification of society. I don't like this perversion, this degeneracy, which I see both here and especially in the United States on the West Coast, which I hate it profoundly, East Coast as well. And I guess that's my advice. And I certainly must tolerate this society. I must tolerate the people I communicate with. But I'm trying to sort of keep to myself. And I prefer hanging around with my books and writing and translating something than trying to convince or persuade my enemies, especially quote-unquote intellectuals, big time. So social justice warriors, as you call them, actually mean it's a great deal of harm. And wow. I don't want to flatter you, but I have probably a certain weakness, and I certainly love people from the South, and I like folks. I, to some extent, you know, I feel much more comfortable when I'm in Tennessee, when I'm with my friends down in Mississippi, than on the West Coast.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you what you're talking to.
I think, again, I guess it's my privilege to be on the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Sunik, I'm not flattering you, but it's my privilege to have you on. I have a biography, but it can't hold a candle to yours. But, you know, if you like Southern people, you're talking to the right man. As the crow flies, I live about probably the crow flies 12 to 15 miles. What's that, about probably 25 kilometers to the Mississippi state line. I live about 15 miles east of the Arkansas line. You have to go across the Mississippi River, which is the Father of Waters. It's the largest river in the United States. I don't know if it's the largest river in North America or not, but I'm straight up hardcore Southern. What they say, born in the United States by accident, Southern by the grace of God, something of that nature. But Dr. Sunik, you're I can't believe I went back and read your whole biography. And I told my wife, said, Lord have mercy, I'm going to have to go redo the whole show, all my show notes. But, you know, if you would, Dr. Sunik, one thing that really impresses me about you, go back to you when you and your daughter, you and your sister were young, and you said you were prisoners of conscience, and tell us about that, how you got in trouble with the communist country of the...
It's a complicated story. When I was a kid, even in high school, I learned about my dad's activities only later on because, you know, people were scared in the communist system. You know, it's a system not just of censorship, but also of self-censorship. So certainly my dad back in the late 60s, early 70s, when I was in high school and then in the university, respectively. He didn't want to tell me about his contacts with the West. He had, of course, some contacts with some foreign services in the anti-communist. You know, keep in mind, this was a Cold War in Germany and also in the States, but he would never talk very much about it, you know. I got to tell you also one thing, that my dad, back in the 50s when I was born, he was offered an opportunity to move to the West. He was not a right-winger. He was not a radical fascist, far from it. He was just a Catholic, I should probably say, just a traditional conservative, something in the line of, how can I say, Pat Buchanan, or something in the line of De Gaulle, if you wish, or Charles Adenauer, or something like that. So anyway, he was offered the entire family to move to the West, to the United States, and also Germany, when I was born, back in the late 50s, early 60s. But he refused because he felt very much attached to his people. And plus, he had strong contacts with the Catholic Church in Croatia. Just in passing, keep in mind, the Catholic Church was not forbidden during the Cold War here in Yugoslavia and Croatia, but it was under strict surveillance. People, in a way, felt like the church. We went to the church because it was just about the only place where we could vent our feelings, crack some jokes about communists, and so on and so forth. Now, back to my sister. I'm trying to backpedal a little bit. All right. Well, she's now retired. My sister, she's a year older than me. And how it happened in 83, I was already in the States by then. In fact, my dad, he was corresponding with some immigrant circles in London and elsewhere, Croatian immigrant circles, anti-communist circles. And my sister was taking his mail. Of course, we didn't have email back then, neither in the States nor in ex-Yugoslavia. And she was taking some mail to Trieste, which was in Italy. And from there, she would post, she would send it out. She would send his mail to different congressmen, different senators, or different politicians in Europe and in the United States of America. Now, just keep in mind, again, Sam, I don't want to lecture on that. It was an entirely different ballgame back then. We lived in the Cold War, so we had much saner, much better, I should say, the conservatives back in Europe and back in the United States were much healthier in a way, under quotation marks, than nowadays. Nowadays, I don't know if they exist any longer. So anyway, she was caught at the border, the Yugoslav border, with a mail. And of course, there is the same evening, in fact, a car. She had to pull over and everything with my mom. Yes, my mom was in a car. I was in the States, keep in mind. And I didn't learn about this event only a week after. And then she was arrested, and of course, my dad, the same evening, he was also arrested at home. And there was, you know, it was not a big raid, but he was in custody for a month or a couple of months, in fact. And then he was tried and judged, and he was sentenced to 4 years of prison, and my sister to 10 months. And this was, keep in mind, she served until my dad served his prison sentence until 89, 88. I remember I was interviewed by Amnesty International. I remember even Pat Buchanan wrote a nice piece about my dad. Pardon my ignorance, was in 87, 89. He wrote for the Washington Times a very nice piece about my dad. You know, Pat Buchanan was a great man. And then
Yes.
I was in London also at the center of an Amnesty International. Amnesty International back then was quite different than nowadays. Nowadays, it's a left-wing, you know, chaotic third world organization, which has absolutely nothing to do with our cause any longer, you know, quite to the contrary. So, yes, I was doing some lobbying on behalf of my dad and my sister. My sister came out of prison in 87. In fact, it's a pretty long and complicated story because she had to serve her prison not the same day. She wasn't released from the prison, though. She was in the custody for a month or so. Then she was released, and then she had to serve her prison sentence 2 years afterwards, if I'm correct. Again, there is a nice book published by my dad a long time ago in Croatian. And if you certainly need some more information, I would be willing to provide that in English. And I'm sure there's...
What is the name of that book?
There's a big file in the State Department still on my dad, because I was corresponding when I was in Santa Barbara. I was just about finishing my PhD at Santa Barbara.
Dr. Sunik, what is the name of that book? Dr. Sunik, could you tell the audience the name of that book?
Okay, I will tell you first in Croatian. My dad published a book, In Croatian, the title is Moi inkriminirani zapisi. And the English translation of it is My Incriminated Scripts, or My Incriminated Writs, you can say, or My Incriminated Writings, where he actually reviews from him, not just from his child, from his where he actually reviews his activities as a quote-unquote of a dissident in communist Yugoslavia all the way to, up to his imprisonment in 1983. And he published that book, of course, when Yugoslavia broke up and when he actually... an interesting story I'm sure you would like to listen to find it out. Again, let me first finish with the book, folks. If some of your listeners and viewers are interested in this book, I'll be happy to provide some excerpts in English. And I had a pretty extensive correspondence also with the State Department back then. It was mid-'80s, late-'80s. I was doing some hefty lobbying also in D.C. back then. Side by side, of course, I was also a prof back then at Cal State Long Beach, where Kevin McDonald used to teach before his retirement. So anyway, I don't know where to start. There are so many images now crossing my mind from left and right.
Well, people, you've been listening to the one and only Dr. Tom Sunick. We unfortunately had to interrupt Dr. Tom Sunick for this quick break. And when we come back, we'll be right back.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The $2 trillion stimulus bill President Trump signed into law includes help for American families who are hurting financially due to the economic impact of the coronavirus. Most adults will receive $1,200 checks plus $500 for each of their children. The massive relief package will funnel $290 billion in direct payments to individuals and families. Households are expected to get a check within 3 weeks by direct deposit or a few months if by paper check. The key factor is your house. It will base its checks on your either 2019 or 2018 tax filing. If you haven't filed your 2019 taxes yet, and many people haven't, the government will use your 2018 returns to determine your stimulus payment. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
A strong earthquake in Croatia caused the evacuation of hospitals and widespread damage, including to the capital's iconic cathedral, all amid a partial coronavirus lockdown. A 15-year-old was reported to be in critical condition and 16 others injured. The European agency EMSC said the earthquake measured 5.3 on the Richter scale and struck just north of the capital. Prime Minister Andrzej Plenković said the earthquake was the biggest in the area in the last 150 years. Hawaii's governor has instituted a mandatory 14-day self-quarantine for all people traveling to the state as part of efforts to fight the spread of coronavirus. It applies to all arrivals at Hawaii airports from the continental United States and international destinations to other private and commercial aircraft. With the majority of Hawaii's COVID-19 cases linked to travel, the governor said it's critical that we further mitigate the spread of the virus both by residents and visitors who are coming in from out of state. This is USA Radio News.
People, we are right back. We have the one and only Dr. Tom Suni calling in all the way from Croatia. So without wasting another minute of precious interview time, we're going to go right back to Dr. Thomas Kostunik. Go ahead, Dr. Tom.
Interesting topic you just tackled on. Again, let me tell you what happened afterwards. Just an interesting thing that you'd like to focus on a bit. You know how people are. When Yugoslavia broke up, the very same people, literally, this is not figuratively speaking, but literally, the very same people who actually arrested my dad, who actually processed him, who actually sent him to prison, for 3.5 years, in fact, altogether it was 4 years that he served. And he was the oldest prisoner of conscience in Europe. He was 77 back then, in 83 until 88 he served.
Dr. Suni.
4 years.
Yes, Dr. Suni, you will.
You know, I wanna... People change.
I don't want to interrupt you, Dr. Sennett, but if you will, before you go on, I want you to continue on with your thought. But if you will, tell the audience what, give us the definition of a prisoner of conscience in a communist nation.
Well, again, you know, we live now, it's been 30 years since the fall of the wall. So we're living now under corona scare. We live in this artificial society, in a globalistic society. We, in fact, hear about people getting imprisoned, and we hear very much about hate crime. We did have hate crime, the same exact wording back in communist Yugoslavia. And I got to tell you, I'm not trying to spare the United States state judiciary, at least some portions of it, and because I do see quite a few parallels between this hate crime vocable, if I can put it, this hate
yes,
crime
sir.
Fraud. And the hate crime in communist in the communist jurisdiction. So this is what worries me quite a bit. That even when you sometimes voice your certain unconventional, controversial things, or let's say about race, about the Jewish question, you really have to be very careful in the States and especially in Europe and in Germany how you're going to formulate that. Because if you say one wrong word, you can be charged with hate crime and you can literally land in prison. Especially in Germany, you can get 4 years a prison term. So again, in terms of substance, again, let me repeat, in terms of substance, there isn't much difference, except, let me put it under quotation marks, there was probably a privilege, under quotation marks, of living under communism, because at least, even simple people, even folks without big education, they could tell exactly who the enemy was, who the enemy is. This is communism and communist apparatchiks. And this is not, unfortunately, the case now in the so-called free world of the West, in the United States of America, or in Europe, where you really have to be very careful about how you formulate your talks, your speeches, your lectures, because for one wrong word, you can get accused by the ADL or SPLC, and not by the SPLC. There are thousands of warriors, or the social justice
yes.
warriors. I know very well the American academia. It's literally permeated by Marxist and cultural Marxists. Tell me about it. It's worse than communist Yugoslavia. Why? Because it's more subtle. It doesn't leave blood. It's not vulgar. It's not savage in a sense. You know, let me tell you, if I can just backpedal a little bit, then. We as kids, I'm a city boy in a way, you know, but I always felt strong and strong with the admiration for the peasants, for simple people, for workers. That's how my dad taught me. And you know, as kids, as boys, as city boys, we could tell by the face, by the race, a communist apparatchik, a communist hack, if you wish. Now, this is no longer possible in the so-called free West. especially with the lying, with the fake news of CNN, ABC, and all this crap that you watch and listen every day, that are ritually, the whole West is in the process of brainwashing. Again, I don't want to now swerve away into the corona business and all this crap going on now with this hoax and so on. But basically, by and large, and especially in Germany, this liberal totalitarianism, this liberal repression, is much more refined, much more subtle, precisely because it doesn't leave traces of blood, and that's why it's far more nefarious, far more dangerous in the long run. And this is
Dr. Tom,
a big distinction I got to make.
Could you describe it? Would it be a fair description to say that it's a scientific brainwashing, a scientific dictatorship?
Absolutely. I don't think it's a good expression indeed, scientific. It's a very perfidious, it's very nefarious. What's the better word? I don't know. To what extent this is being concocted or doctored up by some scientists in Palo Alto or somewhere else on the West Coast, I cannot tell you. I don't know because I don't have empirical evidence on it. But I am aware of the fact that there are very strong and powerful lobbies who are extremely well-financed, like the ADL, I mentioned SPLC. And, of course, you know, people can be bought. I know it firsthand. And when I came here, I was a pretty high official here in the Croatian diplomacy when Yugoslavia fell apart. My dad, who was in a prison, who was a persona non grata in the 80s, all of a sudden became a big man. He remained a very modest guy, you know. He always remained modest, and he taught me always to be modest. But I know some of my friends, I don't want to mention their names, even some folks, even some foreign diplomats, even some American diplomats. You know, people, unfortunately, they're vulnerable in the sense that you can buy them. You can buy somebody with 10 grand, or you can buy somebody with 20 grand, or somebody's tag is 100 grand. But by and large, I can tell you the vast majority of people are buyable, or what's the better expression, are purchasable. And I,
yes, sir.
That's so you can best gauge your friends and your putative friends, even in your vicinity, Sam. I'm pretty much sure you know what I'm talking about. You know? And I'm trying
to Dr. Tom.
Integrity, whether I'm a good guy or a bad guy, I don't know. But I so far I haven't been purchased, I can tell you. I don't want to go into specifics, but some specifics I cannot tell you, you know, why. Because I used to be a pretty high official here in Croatia, but I guess I get high on my books when I translate something. I get high when I read some authors. I'm just now reading Mencken, you know, he translated Nietzsche very well, and I'd rather talk about Nietzsche in my latest piece in the Occidental Observer about Nietzsche than talking about those lousy politicians. I know quite a few of them here locally. Who are telling me when they're in private, they pat me on the shoulder, they hug me and whatever. But anyway, I guess it's a sad story, but it's been always like that. I mean, you got to be prepared for
Dr. Sunik.
The game. Sure, I'm sorry.
I have a quick question, Dr. Sunik. Now, you mentioned, and I agree with you, most people are purchased or can be purchased. Also, if you can't, right. I'm going to ask this question. If you can't purchase them, do you think they can be compromised? In fact, I refer to a book called They Were Compromised. Inspector Jim Rothstein, we've had on this show a few times. He says that at least, bare minimum, of one-third of the United States Congress, senators, Congress critters, have been compromised. The a.k.a. Jeremy Epstein fame, you might want to say. What do you think about that? Did they compromise many of the people with the, you know, like homosexual affairs, drugs, things like that, or were most of the people just bought off, the enemies in communist Yugoslavia?
Well, it's a good point indeed. In fact, look, let me put it, all of us have some dark spots in our career, but it really depends how you gauge and how you actually measure those dark spots. For instance, 50, 60 years ago, back in communist Yugoslavia, being a gay, being a homosexual was considered a crime, you know, and now this is considered a privilege, an advantage. You know, I don't want to make value judgments, but hypothetically speaking, if I was gay, I would probably have much more chances of a success, you know, career success, than if I was a straight man as I am. So again, it really depends how you look at things and from which historical perspective. Back in the, let's say, 60s, to be a traditional conservative, to be a traditional anti-communist, staunch anti-communist. So it's also considered a certain bonus in a way of proceeding with your university career, like I studied in the United States of America. Keep in mind, I was 4 years, I was a prophet of the States. But again, nowadays, I probably, given my conservative, given quote-unquote my nationalist and my racialist, whatever that means, views, I would probably be considered not just a persona non grata, but also a person. Like, but, this is the case, juridically speaking, in Germany. I would probably be under surveillance.
Hey, so Dr. Sunik.
It depends.
Dr. Sunik, I hate to interrupt you, but we're coming up, we're getting close to a landmark in time. Would you briefly tell the audience about the international conference, if I'm not mistaken? The conference is going to happen the first week of May, May 1st and 2nd. Is that still on?
Thank you for reminding me of this. And please, you know, thanks indeed. The conference was unfortunately canceled. It will not be held. The organizer is a friend of mine from Norway. This is the Forum Skansia Forum. I need to repeat again. Jerry Taylor and Michael Jones were supposed to be main speakers, and the conference was scheduled for the 2nd of May in Zagreb, Croatia, about 5 miles from where I live, in a nice hotel, nice place, very safe, very good, fantastic permission. Everything was granted, no sweat. However, given this corona, I don't want to say business or corona hoax, I don't want to go into that, it was canceled. And by the by, I also need to tell you that some of my conferences, I was supposed to give a conference in Finland on the 19th of April next month, myself with some other prominent speakers from the UK and from the United States, with Edward Dutton. You probably know Edward Dutton, who writes for the Occidental Observer. The conference was canceled because of this corona scare and corona lockdown. And by the by, again, I don't want to now highlight my speeches. I was supposed to give also a speech on the 2nd of April, which is 2 weeks from now, a week from now, in Geneva, in French, on Nietzsche. Why Nietzsche? Because Nietzsche, great philosopher, German philosopher, this is the anniversary of his death. And I was supposed to give a speech on hypermoralism, Nietzsche, and the third rule, immigration. It was also canceled. So I'm sorry to say, I got to wrap this up. All my conferences so far have been canceled. In fact, they've been postponed. Hopefully something may unfold at the end of May, and I certainly will keep you posted, and I will certainly be very honored to keep you posted. And I also, once again, I'm definitely at your service, especially to younger audience. Some young students want to write to me if they're interested in some of the books, some classics, especially classics. I'd be happy to help them. At least I'll try.
Dr. Sunik, 2 points. First of all, as soon as you get word that conference we talked about, the international conference, that was the one that was going to be take place on May 1st and May 2nd, I want you to get in touch with me, because if any way possible, I had an invitation by you earlier, if I don't know if you remember that, but right. I wanted to do what it took to.
I'm also the co-organizer, but I was helping the guys. In fact, I was supposed to give a few introductory notes at this conference. But as I said, as of now, it's canceled. Definitely, it might be. Should it be advertised again? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, things start getting better with this corona business. I certainly will let you know, and I'll advertise it all over as I already did a long time ago.
Well, I certainly want to come. If it happens, I want to come, and I want to broadcast. We could broadcast on Blood River, on a Sam show, Liberty News Radio. We could also broadcast it on James's show. So that would be, let's see, 2, 4. That'd be 7 hours of radio broadcasting if it was possible. That's what I really wanted to do, but I'm sad about that. Like I say, keep me posted. But Dr. Sunik, how can people get in touch with you? How can they get your books? How can they keep track of the progress? What would you like them to do?
In fact, thank you, indeed. Well, folks, I don't need the self-advertising or self-promotion. You just type my name, Tom Sunik, S-U-N-I-C, and you will find me all over. You will also find my website, which is www.tomsunik.com. And folks, specifically, again, I'm addressing my demand or my pleas or pledges to a younger audience, to your students. My email is tom.sunik@gmail.com. I repeat, tom.sunik@gmail.com. Folks, feel free. I'm definitely at your service. And I hope, again, Sam or Eddie, you'll be in touch with our general, with my good friend, General Glasnovic, Nick Glasnovic. I was on the phone with him just a while ago, so I'm surprised that you can't get a hold of him. He's a great guy, and please God bless you all, folks. And keep in touch, folks. And I'm willing to help if I can. And I wish, and hopefully I can join you, because I keep in mind also I'm a U.S. citizen. I, although I don't like the West Coast and East Coast, I like people on the South and all you much. That's the reason I am definitely just a service folks. If I ever move someplace, I'll move to Arkansas, to Mississippi. Rest assured, folks.
Well, I'll tell you what, Arkansas is a great place. We have friends in Arkansas, too, as you well know, Petra Thomas Robb and his great family. I know you've been up there before.
He's a great guy. He's got great family. Very modest people. That's how I...
Okay, well, Dr. Tom Sunik, it's been great. We've run completely out of time, Dr. Sunik. I can't believe how fast this time has gone. I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. I'm so flattered. I feel just really privileged to talk to somebody like you. Would you like to make a quick parting shot, Dr. Tom? We've got maybe 20 seconds.
Well, again, thank you very much for your show, and I hope it will be recorded, and I will certainly pass it around. And just on a personal level, please try to get a hold of General Glasnovic. God bless you, folks, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much. People, you just got through listening to the one and only Dr. Thomas Sunik. People, you just got through listening to the Dr. Tom Sunik. what an amazing man, you know. You may have figured out by now that we had to tape this show. I'm sure you probably figured it out. And we had... Thanks to Sam, I tell you, we had a lot of trouble setting this interview up today. Some kind of way, Dr. Sunik, we had our wires crossed. But, you know, if you listen, Dr. Sunik said he was sorry that we could not get in touch with the general. But guess what? Sam is like a pit bull on a bloody bone. He don't give up, son. Once he gets a hold of that bloody bone, he's not turning it loose. I had translated the phone number that Dr. Sunik gave me to get in touch with the general, but there was one digit missing. That's all it takes, folks, is one digit to be missing and the whole phone number screwed up. Leave it to me. And I had panicked. I said, because I had told Sam, I was about to cry, you know, and I said, I've tried for months to get this man. I mean, you will not believe how many hours I spent trying to email, trying to call. I'm going to tell you what, calling long distance international calls, unless you have some kind of a special setup, it's not cheap. It's pretty expensive. But lo and behold, Sam would not give up. I don't know how he did it. He must have some kind of way he tracked that the right number down, was missing one digit. But he landed the general, and he's going to be coming on the second hour. And it's one hell of an interview. Like I say, I've been chasing that guy for months. It's like a warrior. Two warriors meeting, although I wasn't, I never fired a shot in anger. I was a medic. The general, he was up and close and personal with the enemy, with the hunting rifles, bayonets, you name it. And you know what? They beat a better, a superbly financed Islamic Serbian army. The Serbians had tanks, etc. But before I go, before I neglect Dr. Sunik, let me tell you what. A lot of you people might know me. And I don't consider it a derogatory term when I talk about dead poets. And I used to talk to Keith about, you know, people being dead poets and stuff. Talk to Sam knows about, you know, I talked about dead poets. When I said we started this show, we were going to be mostly after the motley crew, the dirty, the neglected, the 3 to 5 percenters, the warriors, the uneducated, you know, the common man. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm having to eat some crow. I went and I read Dr. Tom Sunik's bio. And I tell you what, I encourage you people to go and read it. What a man among men. You know what? You don't have to be. I don't think I'm really mellowing, but you don't have to be a dragon. You don't have to be a lion, you know, roaring around. Look at me. Look how tough I am. I'm roaring. And you know. Sometimes, what do they say, an empty house makes the most noise when the wind blows, something like that. But Dr. Sunik, you know, I'm just going to read a little bit of this because I left out some of his bio. I'm so impressed with him. You know, he was, like he said, he was raised, it's in where he is in Croatia right now. At one time, it was the second Yugoslavian Republic. It was totally communist. I think, if I'm going back memory, I think Milosevic, Slobodek, something like that. I can't pronounce the guy's name. Anyway, he was a hardcore communist. But Dr. Sunik came up in that, in a communist environment. If you're listening, he said his dad was a lawyer that did all kinds of pro bono work. I don't know how he did it. He probably did it kind of like Doc Adams on Gunsmoke. You know, he traded his services for turnip greens and eggs and milk and things like that. But he got by. And as you probably heard him say, they had no TV, they had no cars, they didn't have any kind of what we would call the necessities nowadays. And don't think about a cell phone. They didn't even have a phone, a regular landline. But they had like outdoor toilets. My grandparents, my dear beloved grandparents in Arkansas that were sharecroppers. That's all they had. And I distinctly remember, you're going to laugh, but I remember going to the outhouse and having the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And yes, they did have corn cobs. They used the corn cobs if that was in place of the Sherman. You didn't have no Sherman at all. But anyway, I would tell a little joke about John Wayne toilet paper, but I guess I better not. Well, I'll go ahead and tell it. My brother-in-law says, this is kind of an aside, that the cheap toilet paper they had to buy after the big run, you know, the big run on toilet paper here lately. Believe it or not, this has something to do with the show. The big run on toilet paper they had recently, he said they went and got the El Cheapo toilet paper. He said he called it John Wayne toilet paper. He said it was rough and tough and didn't take crap off of anybody. So anyway, that's what we use in Arkansas, and that's what I've talked to Dr. Tom off air. That's why I know all this. He came up extremely hard, and he came up close to the soil. Today, when I talked to him, he could not wait to get back outside and get back into his field, to get on his hands and knees, working in the dirt, like I mentioned, growing beans and potatoes. He despises New York City. He despises the East Coast. He despises Los Angeles, all the big cities. That's why I'm kind of amazed, even more amazed, that he was able to get self-educated. You know, what he did. Well, before I go to his education, he fought from an early, get this, guys, get this. You think we have guts on Blood River Radio? We can't carry this guy's dirty underwear. He lived in a communist society, people, where they put people in death camps for just making jokes about communism. When he was a young kid, him and his sister were working behind the scenes in patriotic organizations to fight the communists. They had a little newspaper on the side. Then they printed articles in the Sly. I think they had to move the newspaper, the press from site to site. But they did get caught. And you know what? They were taken before the state courts, the kangaroo courts, like we have here in Charlottesville, Virginia. And get this. They were tried and convicted. What do you know? They were convicted. What a shocker. For distributing hostile propaganda. If you know, the Dr. Sunik mentioned this, and this connects into what he said, what he sees a parallel going on here in the United States right now with our so-called hate crimes. Just instead, substitute hostile propaganda instead of hate crimes. That's what they were in there for. And they were sentenced. Tom was sentenced to 4 years, his sister 1 year. His dad was already in prison, as he mentioned. His dad was the oldest prisoner in there, a prisoner of conscience. But Amnesty International came to his rescue. And like he mentioned, and he told me that Amnesty International now is just a front for the Antifa and for the Christian haters. But another thing, Doc, you may not have picked up on it, but Dr. Tom Sunik is a hardcore Christian. He's just a good Catholic boy that grew up in the Catholic Church before the Catholic Church was taken over, infiltrated by, we all know, you know, my wife was a cradle Catholic, but she said the church left her in 1986. Because it came, it was taken over by what Father Malachi Martin would term the pink, what do you call them, the pink priesthood, the pink mafia. They were the homosexuals inside the church. You know, he infiltrated the church, but they've been also infiltrated most of the other churches too. I'm not going to say that the Baptists and the Methodists, et cetera, have as many homosexuals in them, but they've been infiltrated. But anyway, they fought knowing they were going to go to prison, folks. They spit in the eye of the devil, and they did it. And Amnesty International and 12 to 14 other congressmen saved them. I wish we could have got the names of the congressmen. I would love to get them on the show. But fast forwarding, they did that. Come hell or high water, they did it. That's what kind of courage they have. Listen, he was able to come to the United States. And by the way, he's a dual citizen, a good dual citizen. He's not a dual citizen, Israeli American. He got a master's degree at California State University. He got a doctorate degree in political science. People, listen, well, I've run completely out of time, as I usually do. Please stay tuned. Please don't go anywhere, because we're going to go right back to the one and only General Nick Glasnevik. So hang on, just go get a cup of coffee. You got a few minutes to take for a break. Be right back.